Welcome to the first episode of Help on the Shop Floor. I'm Ollie. I'm with my boys Ben, Andrew. This week we're going to be talking about the most horrible, the most despicable, the most disgusting customers in retail. Andrew can't hold himself in because he's got some pretty funny stories. I think we all do.
To get off the chest.
Yeah, we all pretty much do, but Andrew has been in retail longer than Ben and I combined.
So end up rage.
Yeah. So where do you want to start, Andrew?
I don't even know. I think probably we'll start with the lowest of the lows, really. You know, CEX was the first job that I had. And as you can imagine, I'm sure you boys know what CEX is like. Literally the lowest of the low come through. And yeah, I've had a fair share of bad customers. I mean, I wouldn't say they were the worst customers, in all fairness. I don't know if that's a positive thing for CEX, but yeah, I've definitely seen some really bad, some annoying customers, some stinky ass customers. Just, I've seen a lot, man. So should I start with like the worst?
Please do.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So the worst, I mean, with CEX, I didn't really have too many experiences with horrible, horrible customers. I was pretty much 16 at the time. So any bad customer, I just flagged off to the manager. They can deal with it. Nothing to do with me. So the one that I can remember, probably the worst one, was this dude. It was a roadman. Well, he thought he was a roadman. And he was buying Mafia 2, which is 18 rated. And I'm sure you guys know that anything with an age rating, if you don't look that age, you need to ask for ID. Yep. Which to me is a normal thing, right? And if anyone asks you for ID, I don't get why it's such a big deal or why people make such a freaking big scene about it. Just take it as a compliment. So anyway, this dude, he looks at me and he sort of laughs and he's like, "Are you joking?" And I said, nah, I'm being straight up, man. You don't look 18, unfortunately, so we just need to ask for ID. And then he turned to his boy who was like browsing at games or whatever. And he shouted across and he was just like, "Hey, bruv, this guy's being long, innit?" And he turned his back on me. So I was thinking, okay, he's just going to get his ID out. Cool, I'll just wait patiently. So when he turns back round, he looks at me and he sees me still standing there. I haven't got his game or anything. And he was just like, "Bruv, are you not going to get the game?" I said, "I need to see your ID, man. I can't do anything unless you show me some ID." And he just started going off on one, you know, just being that kind of a customer, that difficult guy, thinking he's bad in front of everyone as well. To the point that he actually gives me his ID. And then when he does, I just thought, do you know what? I'll make a bit of a meal about this just as much as you did. And I wanted to get the last word in, and that's probably the worst thing about me. When he showed me his ID, I was just like, cool, that wasn't hard, was it? You just had to do that in the first place. And that was it, man. He was just like, "Oh, stop being a dick, bruv, just get the game." And then me being me, 16 years old, I'm like shaking a little bit because the adrenaline's pumped up. And I just wanted to smack him. So in the end, I was just like, cool, well, you can get served by someone else because I'm not going to serve you. And the funniest thing was, right, so this guy was acting like he was a real bad man. Big man, right? I got my brother a Christmas job there. And he was literally serving on the till next to me. So this guy tries to get served by my brother. And he was just like, "Hey, boss man, can you serve me this game?" And my brother was like, "Yeah, cool. You got ID, yeah?" He was like, "Yeah, I just showed it to him over there. He's being a dick, innit?" And my brother looked and he went, "Oh, so my brother's being a dick." And that was it. He just shut up. He was like, yeah, you know, because like, he's just asking me for ID, innit, you know? And my brother was just like, "Yeah, it's what we have to do. We're just doing our job. He's not a dick for doing it." And he was like, "Yeah, no, I see it now, innit? I see it now. But it's cool though, innit? Bless for getting me the game though." I was just like, "What? Bruv, you are a fassy. What are you doing with your life, man?" So yeah, that's for CEX, that's probably the worst customer I had.
Yeah.
Because like I said, everyone else, I just dashed over to the manager.
Yeah, no, because actually I remember one time at the store, I don't know if we were allowed to do it, but whenever someone asked for a receipt, sometimes I would ask for ID. And because they would just like come in like so randomly and just be like, "Yeah, can I have the receipt? This is my name." And I'm like, like, how do I know if it's you and stuff, like, whatnot. And I was like, I'm pretty sure, we should be asking for ID, I have no clue. But anyway, I remember one guy wanted it, and I think it was because he was acting so, like, suspicious. I was like, yeah, can I have some ID? And he's like, well, would you want my ID? I just want a receipt. And I was just like, just to make sure it's you. And then he showed me the ID, and I was like, all right, thank you. And then he was like, yeah, just give me my fucking receipt. And I was like, bruv, I don't have to do anything. You can, like, literally piss off. Yeah. But, like, yeah, it's just so annoying. Like, I think, like, during, it must be sometime last year, during the second lockdown, I got ID'd. And that's, like, the first time in years I've ever been ID'd for anything. I also realised that,
it could be worse. You could still literally get ID'd for paracetamol and Monster Energy drink. Yeah, it's a daily occurrence for me.
But, like, no, like, because I have a beard, whenever I shave, I always get ID'd. But when I have the beard on, no one literally IDs me. But it's a bit annoying because, like, especially at the moment when we all have to wear masks.
Yeah.
They just ask, like, really randomly. But, yeah, no, like, yeah, I've had a few customers where they're like, why do you want to see ID? And it's just like, because
you could be anyone.
Yeah. No, especially, like, if we had to do finance on phones and stuff. Like, I remember when we had to do the finance applications, and, yeah, like, see some proper dodgy ones that still got accepted by a company anyway. But, yeah.
That's finance for you, man. I literally got ID'd as well. When was it? A couple of weeks back. Actually, probably about the second week of December.
And I went to game. As a 27-year-old, did you just do a little jump for joy in your mind?
Well, sort of. So, you know, you guys have seen my beard as well. And I always thought, well, I've got a beard now. People probably won't ID me. And so I was buying Assassin's Creed and Mortal Kombat. And, like, the guy got the games and everything like that. And just as he's about to scan them through, he looks at me. And then he looks twice. And bear in mind, I'm in my full uniform. I've got my lanyard. It's a store leader, everything like that. And he looks at me twice. And then he goes, oh, have you got some ID? And in my head, I really wanted to just sort of rage, just like that guy did. Because it's just like, bruv, I'm 27. How are you going to ID me for an 18-rated game? But at the same time, I felt a little bit happy because it's just like, all right, cool. Yeah. I don't look 18. Sweet. But the only issue was that my wallet was left out. I left my wallet at work because I didn't think I was going to need it. So I had to go back and get it. But yeah, it's just like, I could have kicked up a fuss, but what's the point? What's it going to do?
Actually, I remember actually, I went to the last gig before lockdown, and I was on the way home. And there was, like, some proper drunk guy, just, like, proper insulting everyone. And I was just laughing, and I was just like, he's going to pick me out soon. And then, I don't know how it came about, but he asked for my age. And I said, I'm 24. And he went, fuck me, I thought you were 32, mate, fucking hell. And to be honest, that's a compliment, because I do look pretty old. I feel pretty old as well, actually. I mean,
yeah, man.
I'm
lockdown. It's aged us all.
It definitely has, man. But
yeah, my knees click every time I bend down. They click now that I walk, man. It's just I'm getting old, man.
Cheers, Michael Fox.
Mate, I'm sure he probably feels more fitter than me.
And the guy's got Parkinson's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So leave him alone, Ben.
Yeah.
Welcome to our podcast. It's called Turn on Ben.
Yeah, he's just jealous because he drives a better car. We won't get into that.
Whether he's driving it or not is a question.
My Alfie Romain, yes.
Oh, cheers.
No, Ben did see my car the other week.
I did.
Yeah.
It's pretty straight, to be fair.
He gave it like a proper, like, once over. Just like,
all right. Yeah.
I bet he did. Did he kick the tires and everything?
I think he was tempted to, but
It's a bit hard to do when Ollie's mum was in the car and I was like, yeah. I can't kick the tires. I think I'm assaulting his car.
But yeah, no, literally, like, it clicked in because there was a couple of problems. Well, there wasn't problems, but there was stuff there. I was like, well, Ben's here. I'll just get him to do it. I was like,
get
Ben.
Expert analysis.
Yeah, no. But he did that for free anyway. Like, he went, oh, yeah, they've done some work on the body. And,
I think to quote myself, I said that the bumper had been off before.
No.
And Ollie went, how'd you know? And I went, and there's a, you can never put a bumper on the same way as it came off. There's always a small panel gap.
Yeah, and I'm clearly not a car guy. So
fair enough, mate. If it doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother you. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I had some work done on my previous car, and the bumper just never went back on right. So it's a problem. All the same, I took a look at all four wheels and went, Ollie, did you manage to curb all four wheels? He went, I've definitely curved one of them.
Yeah, I definitely curbed the left side.
Yeah.
A couple of times. Yeah, but I may change them anyway. But it's like, because it will be my first proper car, I'm really not fussed about it. Like, just as long as, like, the inside looks fine. I don't care if it looks like it's been in, like, thousands of accidents. If it gets me from point A to point B, then it's pretty cool. My little pussy wagon.
Patrol the streets.
No, but one thing that I have done to it is I changed the radio to CarPlay. So I have a Volkswagen Polo. I was going to get a Mini, but like the CarPlay would have been like where the temperature controls are and all that, so like the center control or console, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
It would have been way at the bottom, and yeah, I would have just flown off a cliff. It'd be too distracted. But with Polos, luckily they've got a radio that's designed for CarPlay and stuff and for the car. But for some reason they only sell it in the Asian Russian market. So I bought it from China. It literally came like a week and a half as well. I'm so surprised. Like during the first lockdown, anything I bought from China took 2 months to come. Because obviously they quarantined it and stuff. But this package came like in a week and a half. I was just so blown. And it just works like a dream. So.
Yeah, this brings back on topic. Did you ever get a question about CarPlay whilst we're in store? Like, can you resolve my CarPlay? And then I said...
Sometimes.
No, I don't have your car in the shop.
I think I did once when someone goes, oh, I've got a problem with CarPlay. And I'm like, well, what car do you have? Oh, yeah, I've got this car. And then I'll be like, well, go to them. Because they're the ones that made the radio and like, and they put the software on there as well. But CarPlay is pretty cool. It does distract me a little bit, which is not great for a learner. But I think...
That's the beauty of driving, man. Never have your eyes on the road. I don't.
It's really annoying, though, because it reads your messages, and sometimes you just want to read it. Like, well, it speaks it out, but you can't read, like, what it says instead, but it reads it out to you. So...
Because people don't type with, like, correct grammar either.
Yes.
So it's just, it doesn't make sense sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew, you were working in the vicinity of the store beyond the store's closure. Was my doppelganger still walking past?
I don't know. We closed... You and I closed the store.
No, I know. I just went at game afterwards.
Oh. I don't think he went down that end, to be fair.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm assuming maybe he did, because my friend did think that you worked at Pandora. He texted me. He was like, oh, does your friend Ben work at Pandora? I was like, probably not, man. He doesn't like Luton. Why would he work in Pandora?
If he can avoid it, he will.
And he's like, I swear I saw him. And I said, it's probably his doppelhanger.
Honestly, don't get me started on that one.
Doppelhanger.
The day I walked in and he said, oh, Ben, I've just seen your doppelhanger. And I went,
I just saw your doppelhanger.
Sorry, what? And he said, your doppelhanger. And I went, please tell me that somebody's asked you to say doppelhanger. And he said, no, it's how you say it. And I was like, doppelganger. G. Doppelganger. And I looked over at you and I was like, bro, do you not realise how fucking weird this is? Am I the only person losing my bloody mind right now?
Oh, it's a silent G. It's doppelhanger.
Doppelhanger.
It's German.
It's German.
Oh, dear, man.
It's too German for me, so.
Those damn krauts.
But, yeah. So you say that double, was it double hander?
Yeah, my doppelhanger. Yeah, that was a rumor for a very long time until I one day saw him, and even then it was still just the back. It was still like the side of his side profile. But yeah, he always used to walk past the store in a coat similar to mine, and apparently he looked identical to me. It happened for a good like 2 years. I feel like for a good 2 years it was a case of, Ben, your doppelganger's walking past, and I'm like, what? And I'd come outside just to not see him.
If there was ever someone who looks like it could be your twin, that was the guy, man. He just dressed in smart clothes.
Well, yeah, I didn't have a lot of choice in that matter, did I?
I mean, the uniform. My uniform was.
You're welcome to. My uniform is t-shirt and jeans. Yeah, I can make that look really smart. Yeah, definitely a tie and formal shoes will definitely go with that. Try my best, but the one day I did come in and wearing a pair of brogues, I was told that I shouldn't be wearing brogues. So you know, you win some.
There you have it.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Right, Ben, do you have a horrible customer?
Do I have a horrible customer?
Yeah, that springs to mind.
You can borrow mine if you want.
No, I don't.
Do you want an arena friend?
No. So obviously with all the finances, when that was coming in through the Easy Finances, who are obviously very, if you haven't noticed in the news at the moment, who are in much hot water due to the easing of the past, the credit checks. But even still, when we got the Easy Finances in, and certain ethnic groups like to expose it, you had a guy.
Eastern European,
let's just be specific.
For the record,
Nigel Farage has entered this podcast.
I'm sorry. I was trying to beat around the bush, to be fair. Somebody that came in and he said,
it's ending before it started.
Well, just for clarification, we've got no issues with.
No, it was just.
Well, Ben
just
might.
Just to be a correlation. For the record, I have no problem with anyone.
Debatable.
Yeah.
Anyone outside of a personal issue, and personal issues are not based on race, ethnicity, or gender. There you go. That's a nice way to cover that one up. Well done, Ben. Pack yourself on the back for that. No. I had a gent walk in, demanding that he had a finance and that we did it now, and the famous line that was, my job is worth significantly more than the possibility of you having a finance today. At which point in time, he just looked dumbstruck. In fairness, he didn't seem like a particularly smart individual, but all the same.
I remember, actually, I had a customer who, I think it's like his uncle or something, he's like, I'm here with my uncle. And I was like, okay. And we did a soft check, and I was like, okay, so one of the questions, so actually I'm going to back up a little bit. So a soft check, for anyone who doesn't know, is basically before you do a finance, it gives you a good indication of whether you will pass or fail an application. But that's just because you pass doesn't mean that you'll necessarily get one. But the store that we worked in, because we basically sold luxury electronics, obviously a lot of people can't afford to buy outright, so they do finance, And a lot of the finances that we did, I'd probably say about maybe 70% of people failed. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, probably. Due to the demographic.
Yeah, I think it was probably around that. I think we had an approval rate of like 26%.
I mean, my friend...
Which would be pretty close then.
My friend, I remember actually when my friend Vicky came to do one, and I was really nervous because I was like, if she fails, then I'm never going to see her again because it would be so embarrassing for her. But no, she passed. But anyway, so we do a soft chat, and there was this guy with his uncle, whatever. And one of the questions in the soft check is, how much do you earn in a year? So, because obviously they want to know if you're going to be able to pay or not. And I don't know whether it's a language barrier or whatever, but I said to him, so how much do you earn a year? And he went, £200. So I was like, 200. And he went, yeah, 200. And I was like, could you like write it out for me? And he literally put 200. And I was like, so £200. And I was like, mate.
A year, annually.
Yeah. I was like, you know this is annually. And he goes, yeah, I know. And I was like, okay. I was like, oh, surprise. See, you wouldn't get it. So, yeah, I don't feel comfortable doing it. Because if you did the finance and you failed, it would... I don't know if they said that it wouldn't affect your credit score. But
yeah, the soft check doesn't affect your credit score, is it?
No.
It
doesn't appear on any credit but rate. Then, but when you actually do the finance,
the
I think...
The actual one does.
The actual one does, yeah. If you fail it. But... But yeah, like, yeah, most of the customers that I did, they always just failed, like, in and out, 5 minutes, yeah, you failed, goodbye. But
you are the weakest link, goodbye.
But one thing, actually, because I did service, so I just fixed all the electronic products that we sold, but I know that Ben and Andrew would...
mingle in with the customers.
Yeah. And but no,
I think mingle is quite the correct word.
Yeah, like the one pattern that we all had was we'd always have like the same people coming in like week in or week out trying to get a phone, and then we all found out actually that it looked to be like a gang, like using the stolen details and basically try and buy the phone and then whatever.
Scum family.
Yeah, was it a family?
I think they were, yeah.
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 Because I'm actually surprised that we weren't on a first name basis because I actually don't know their names. I was just like, oh, look, they're here again.
I'm sure some of them got nicknames.
They probably do. I think basically they roll in like, I think they send one person or two people in at one point to sort of test the water and then increase it by numbers, because the first time I experienced a customer for an Eastern European customer, let's just say, my first dealings with them was in CEX, and this dude just came in randomly, and he had like probably about 30-35 games, all of them brand new, sealed, fresh sealed, and it wasn't just like 30 different games. There was like 15 of the same title, 15 of the same title. So it was very clear from the start that these were stolen. Because why would you buy 15 copies of the same game and then sell them for less than what you would have bought them for? So obviously we can't really accuse them unless we have absolute guaranteed evidence. Yes. So we just bought them in, man. And the manager always loved buying them in. And it got to a point where, because he didn't speak the greatest amount of English, so... You know, it was a bit hard trying to get certain things through. And one of the guys, it wasn't me, I was too scared to do it, but it got to a point where one of the guys were actually ripping him off. So they would say, for example, well, you can only sell 15 of the same item, right? And then rather than putting 15 on a system, they'll only put 13. And he wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And so he'd come in like every, probably 2 days a week, and then it increased. And then he'll have another person with him. And then before you knew it, there was a whole family. And all four, like literally, all six teals at one point. Well, I'm exaggerating there. Probably four teals, all four of us doing the same family transaction.
Yeah.
But they never clocked on once that they were undercutting them. you know, they'll put through, let's say, 27 items in total.
My thinking is it's less about clocking on, more about the fact that they know they could shift it. If they're a hot property and they know they could shift it, then at least, even if you're losing one or two per transaction, then at that point in time you're at least making something.
They did clock on, because the one time I tried it, this is why I said I didn't want to try it in the first place, because I knew I was going to fail. I was proper shaking. I was 16, man. I'm shaking. It's the first time I've ever done it, right? And so I put it through, and the guy's looking at his receipt, and I'm like, why are you looking at your receipt, bruv? None of your family do that. And this guy was looking, and then he pointed that out, and he was like, this only says 13. I was like, I must have misscanned too. My bad. Sorry. Can I keep it, though? No? All right, cool. I'll put it through.
Can I keep it, though? Yeah.
Yeah, the one time I tried it failed horribly, but these guys did it. But then we never saw him again, because the leader, I quote leader, we were wondering where he was, because we didn't see him for a good couple of weeks. And when we asked one of his family members, he was like, oh, I don't know, he got hit by car. Oh, okay. What does that mean? Is he sleeping with the fishes? Like, what's going on, man?
Is he just apparently dangerously in hospital? I don't know.
Did he get deported? Who knows, man? No one knows. I've never seen him again.
Got hit by a car, found he had no insurance. He got on the home.
Slap wrist.
But yeah.
Oh dear.
No, we...
can we keep that in?
Yeah, we can keep that in.
Okay.
Of course we can. I mean, I've stated that it's an explicit podcast anyway, so... It's not like five-year-olds are going to be like, what the fuck is this?
He said a bad word.
I'm telling my mum.
My mummy's going to slap your bottoms.
Right, should we share another story, lads?
Can do. Andrew's obviously got a list written. So.
I think the best of my customers obviously came from my time in game. And I was there for...
Yeah, I was there for 6 years, and
I was there for 6 years, man. So I experienced a whole lot of customers, man. People that couldn't trade their stuff from CEX, so they come down to us. I've got literally, there was a list. Some of my friends, they sent me a list the other day of all the customers that we've dealt with. So we give people nicknames, right?
Yeah.
Like there was a guy in CEX who we called Black Raven, because he would come in literally 5 minutes before we closed.
I'm guessing like not Raven from That So Raven, but Raven as in the BBC presenter, right?
Nah, because if it was
I'm pretty
Raven,
sure Raven's already black.
I'm sure we'll be checking out the booty at one point, but it clearly wasn't Raven.
Go on.
So literally this dude will come in with a trolley, a trolley, 5 minutes before we would close, and he would start from the beginning of the alphabet on the DVDs, and he would only pick up DVDs that were less than a pound. So all these cheap DVDs, 50p, 75p, 25p DVDs that no one cares about, and he'll bring up a fat ass pile, man. I'm talking like 20 plus every single day, 5 minutes before we close. And it's just like, dude, we're not getting this ready for you now. Because those DVDs, you can never find them anyway, because no one cares about them. Just dash them anywhere.
Yeah.
So, we called him Black Raven. I don't know why, but they created a Facebook page for him.
Let the challenge begin.
God.
I don't know if it's still up. Probably is. But yeah, Black Raven's on there, man. I haven't seen him lately, so I don't know. Maybe he's
maybe buried. He got hit by a car as well.
Hit by a trolley.
He got hit by a car. No, actually,
imagine you had a car.
Actually, one thing I do want to point out is when the PS4 was being launched, my mum visited the store, and she goes, I feel like I know your boss, which is Andrew.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, I think I saw him somewhere. And I was like, oh, well, he used to work at Game. And she was like, oh, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, because he was the one that rang me about getting the PS4. Because, it's not as havoc as PS5. launches, but fucking hell. But the PS4 was still quite bad. But
yeah.
But essentially, my mum put a deposit down on a PS4, and this came out in 2023, didn't it? No, not 2023. 2013.
Yes,
2023.
It came out in plus 2 years.
In 2013, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know you was asking the question, but yeah.
No, yeah, so yeah, it came out 2013. So, and then I joined the store in early 2019. Yeah, March, April 2019. So it was about a good, if I could do the maths correctly.
6 years?
Yeah, 5 or 6 years. And yeah, my mom was like, oh yeah, he was very nice, very lovely guy. You know, made sure that I got the PlayStation, but I had to go in there pretty instantly.
Yeah, it's console purchase,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I called so many people. We had 4 phases of pre-orders, and it was just horrible, man. And to the point, like, the manager we had at the time, he was an absolute arse, and no one liked him. He made up a rule that they could... Well, I don't think it was him. I think it was the company. I'm not 100%. I was just told. But... Basically, the rule was made up that they could only buy, like, for any extra PS4 that we had, they could only get it in, like, a bundle. So, obviously, you've got customers that just want to buy a PS4. For which reason, I don't know. It's a brand new console. You can't backwards compat anything. It's a brand new console, but people just want to buy the console on its own. No games, nothing. I never understand that. But he, yeah. So, any free console we had, we weren't allowed to sell by itself. So we'd have to say to customers, we do have it in stock, but we've only got these bundles left. And people will be, you know, spending £100, £200 sometimes extra on top of what the actual price was. So I called so many people. I'm happy that she said that I was nice. I was worrying there.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I know I was rude to a couple of people because it was just a stressful time. No excuse, but...
Yeah, no, like... Because my mum did say, I think we were in the second phase, I think.
Yeah.
And she said, well, the guy on the phone said, we've only got like 5 left or whatever. So if you want to get one guaranteed, you have to come pretty much now. And as someone who worked, I mean, could we really call it a launch day when... When the iPhone came out, was it
last? Launch days became less like launch days the further it went on.
Yeah, but like
it went from having stock on launch day to having
to not having it.
Yeah, having no stock, you can place the order on launch day.
Yeah, I mean,
and we will have a date when we have a date.
Yeah, I mean, like the first and only launch day that I did at the store, that was quite busy. Like I think I did about 3 or 4 transactions, but a lot of people were like coming in and moaning like, oh, why haven't you got it in and all that malarkey. But yeah, I haven't really known a launch day like this current gen one, the PS5 and Xbox Series X, where it's a bit like, I don't know if you guys have seen it, Jingle All The Way, where it's got Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to get Turbo Man. Like, literally, like, getting it for me, it was quite easy getting the PS5 for me. But then my sister was like, can you get one for my brother-in-law? And that was probably about twice as difficult. And then, because I'm such a good friend, I got Ben one, and he got it, was it last week? Yeah, last week. And I think that was the most difficult.
I said I wasn't currently on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
So the moral of that story is, if you want a PS5, hit Ollie up.
Yep. Right, we won't charge you 200. We won't charge you the overs that that costs for a thing. But
yeah, I got the controller as payment from Ben. Yeah.
Fair play.
Pretty fair.
Katie's,
to be fair, go on.
Katie's brother-in-law now bows down to my knees. Well, bows down to his knees. You know, he actually messaged me as well. Like, he sent me like a random friend request and was like, oh, thank you so much, Ollie. And I was like, okay. I just like flexing that I managed to get 2 PS5s, whereas the majority of people didn't even get one.
Yeah,
and it's free now. So that's it, man. I'm the ultimate flexer. Yeah. No, like, legit, if you want me to get one, I love the adventure. So I just, you know, I would love
Ollie
to
is the equivalent of Bilbo Baggins. That's what he's saying. Yeah, I love the adventure.
Yeah. No, well, I like a challenge. That's what I say. I think I said that for my job interview at a store. I was like, yeah, I like having challenges, and then working at a store, I was like, I fucking hate this.
Yeah, it's different, right? That's the thing. Like in interviews, you say what you think that they want to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you actually get to do it in reality, you're like, ah, snap. What did I sign up for, man?
And then the boss goes, but you said that you did that. And I was like, that was a lie. Sorry.
We all tell a little white lie every now and then. Come on now.
I like to say I'm a pretty honest person when it comes to jobs.
Yeah, same.
I'll debate that.
Ollie, meanwhile.
No, I mean...
Yes, I'm a pilot, yes.
Yeah, I can fly, don't worry. No, because working with these guys, it was my first job, actually. And yeah. I do have an excuse, in case anyone writes, you're a scrounger, huh?
Basically, he was blind.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Well, visually impaired, but technically, yeah, actually, legally blind at one point.
Just write it off as blind, because...
Yeah. No, a lot of people do.
I'm legally blind.
Hold it down. To cut a very long story short, essentially, I developed an eye condition, and it rendered me Stevie Wonder for a couple of years, and then... It got so better that my benefits got cut, and then I was like, oh shit, I need to get a job now. But I actually never had a job because I got this eye condition quite early. I think it must have started developing when I was about 17 or 18, and then I had the transplant when I was 19. And then, it was just pretty much recovery. And then my eyesight got better, and then the Tories were like, no more benefits for you. And then I was like, oh, great.
I mean, you can blame it on the Tories, or you can blame it on your ever-increasing health. I don't know. It's up to you.
Fucking NHS, making me feel better. But no, because I did apply for a couple of jobs beforehand, but I didn't get any of them. So before the whole eye thing came down, I was... I was involved in music, and I wanted to do... audio technician stuff, so engineering, the tech side of stuff, and that just kind of went down the toilet when my eyesight got bad. And then obviously no one really hires anyone if they don't have experience, so the fact that I think my CV, I think I put down that I did voluntary work for a mental health group in the area, which I did,
and all of 12 hours and then gave up.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I don't know what else I put, but it was pretty much look, I'm self-trained. Like,
yeah,
I would be through uni. I left school when I was like 16. And
in fairness, it didn't take a lot to persuade the manager at the time to hire anything.
No, pretty much, but
he probably would have hired a duck.
Yeah.
Well, he did. He hired me, so. I want a refund. Whack.
Whack. To be honest, that would have done a refunds policy a genuinely a world of good. But would you like to come over here would you like to come over here and explain your issue with your refund to our refunds policy manager? Just
Well, so you see, it's whack. Oh, okay. Yeah, I understand. Okay. Oh, sorry, it's rude to you. Yeah. But,
okay, I'll take that away with me now.
But yeah, no. So I applied at a very big electronic company that everyone will know, but I shall not name because I want to give it a try with them again. just hope they do not see this podcast. But
and if they do,
hey!
Hello there!
I'll put it on my CV for the bands. But
that's Ben, the person you didn't want to keep on.
But yeah, so I went to them first and they seemed quite interested. I thought like I pretty much accepted I wouldn't get it because I had no experience. But I thought, damn, you know, I'll probably make it like a couple of rounds and then get me out. I didn't even make it in the first one. And the hiring event, because it's still like they really emphasize that you can't talk about what goes on. But what I will say is that a lot of the people there were pretty fucking stupid and they didn't know what to do. But this company's very more, well, I don't know if it's more looks because I'm very handsome, but they're more about the customer experience. And obviously I was a bit more of a service tech guy. They were like, yeah, no, it's a load of bollocks.
We don't want you.
Yeah, but then obviously I tried the store where I met Ben and Andrew, and yeah, that's how I know them. But I really forgot what the whole point of that story was.
I think we just detoured.
It was quite a large tangent there, yeah.
And during that, I remembered the filthiest customer of my time with in CEX, and it's by far the worst customer. Well, I won't say worst, just the filthiest, nastiest, scummiest guy, whatever you want to say, man, however you want to describe it. Literally, I didn't realize that in CEX they sold adult films. Did not realize at all. Did you not know?
No. Well, they
there you go. That's my weekend.
Well, they don't in my local CEX, so I'm going to have to try it. I'm going to have a look now.
I don't know if they still do, but when I was there, so again, I was 16 at the time. And I'd never once realized, and it took me like a good month to actually realize, and they don't mix them in with the normal DVDs, obviously, for obvious reasons. Imagine seeing that in the kids section. That's crazy.
Just Finding Nemo and then, Finding Pussy.
Daddy's angry with baby.
And then the kid picks up and goes, oh no, he's going to get a massive smack.
Walt Disney smashing fish.
Oh.
That isn't like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's something very different.
Hey, this isn't Shrek.
Huge knobs and broomsticks.
Anyway,
so literally they have them on the top shelf. And so I did not realize. And this guy, like, I remember what he looks like exactly. Dude was probably about 6'2", 6'3". Had a long grey ponytail. Always wore like a white coat. Always came in with a Sainsbury's bag and then roughly about 2 or 3 DVDs. And what he would do is he would trade them in and use the credit to get more. And like, to be honest, I'll take my hat off to him because he doesn't care who saw him. And he would full on, do you know how like, if you're buying a DVD that you've never heard of and you read the back, you look at the pictures and you're like, oh yeah, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's what that dude was doing for at least 30 minutes, man. Just looking at each case at the back.
Oh, what for the adult film?
Is he the sort of guy that watches porn for the storyline? Is that what we're saying?
I don't care. I don't know. I don't want to know. But the only time I only served him once. The one time I served him, it was the worst thing I could ever experience working in retail. So this dude trades in, as I said, trades in, and he buys more. So he gives me the 2 DVDs, I open one of them, and there was a tissue on the inside of the case.
Aww.
And at that point, I was like, cool, I'm no longer serving this dude. I'm not touching it. I don't get paid enough. Number 3, you've got the internet. You can watch it without anyone knowing what you're doing. I don't care if you whack your meat off at night 24 times. I don't want to know about that. Don't care about it. And I didn't serve him from that point onwards.
As long as you didn't get out of the blue light, everything's golden.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure COVID existed at that point. It was in that case, right there.
Was it
I think it was more than COVID. I'm pretty sure it was chlamydia.
Was it a used tissue, though?
I didn't exactly smell it, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, but did it look used? Did it, like, look all wet?
I could see any tissue scrunched up, man.
By that point
it was scrunched up. Yeah. Oh, man.
It was a bit scrunched up, so... Yeah. He caught his babies in there. I didn't want to investigate. All I know is that I looked at it. Because you need to check the quality of the disc, right? No matter what they're trading it in, whether it's a game or DVD. And it was just like, I didn't even want to touch it. It was just scan it through. I don't care if they're in there. Dude, this is how much you're getting. You can get served by someone else. I'm 16, man. I'm not even 18. I shouldn't even be selling this crap to you. And yeah. So he is by far the dirtiest customer I've ever served in the whole 11 years of retail.
Is that even over a Fun Show?
Yes.
Wow.
I would happily drink Fun Show's piss than serve that guy again.
I'm almost tempted. If we were still at the store, I'd be tempted to try that. Just source the man. Say, I wonder if there's a way that I can get Andrew to serve this man and lose this bet.
I think I did serve him, didn't I?
What? Oh, no, not Fun Show, mate.
Oh.
No, to drink Fun Show's piss over Mr. Jack off 5,000.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
The masturbator that is.
Mr. Playboy himself.
Okay, well, we're talking about
the living incarnation of Hugh Hefner.
Yeah. We're talking about the dirtiest customers we've seen. Ben, have you had any dirty customers, both metaphorically or literally?
Many crackheads. I think countless amounts of crackheads. Andrew has a fantastic image of me wanting to put a bullet through my brain.
So do I. Actually, Andrew, do you remember that drunk guy that came in? I think he was homeless. That drunk homeless guy that came into the show.
And everyone ran out the back.
Yeah. and then Alice was like, Ollie, come out. Please help me. There's a drunk guy.
And go on.
No, I was just like, fucking, I think like it's a robbery or something. And they come out, it's like some drunk guy, and I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me, right? I was like, look, man, just leave. And he was, and what was he saying again, Andrew? I completely forgot.
I can't remember. All I know is that I didn't want to deal with it. So I was like, cool, I'll see you guys later. I'm going out the back. And then everyone followed me.
I think he was like saying...
in moments like that, it really is a case of whoever draws the short straw gets to... deal with this
cycle of it. Well, it was me, Ben.
Well, yeah, exactly.
They were like, well, he's been in the back. Story. He's been in the back all evening.
I mean, personally, Ollie, I thought Jordan was going to deal with it because he wants to be a police officer. So I figured, all right, this is great experience for you. Go ahead, deal with him. And this guy was following me out the back.
No.
He ran away just like me, man.
He literally radioed security and was like, oh, can you help this guy? Get rid of this guy, like.
Get rid of this guy, like.
And, the guy was like, stop making fun of me.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he have, like, a sandwich or something hanging out of his mouth? He had something grim on him, like a banana or something, man.
Yeah. Like, poor guy needed, like.
Do you remember the guy that defined for me lips can be really deceiving? The guy that was really open about the fact that he'd been to prison. And he was, like, full on, like, prison tatted and everything.
Oh, like, yeah, I think told me that.
Head to toes. Yeah, I mean, he was definitely...
Wasn't he, like, released that day as well?
Because, yeah, or something like that, but he was just super nice. Like, I don't know whether it was his rehab is being very effective, or alternatively, he was genuinely the nicest guy on earth. And he's American. Well, he sounded American, but he was English. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
He was a super nice guy.
Did you ask him...
at him and you went, Jesus Christ...
Did you ask him why he was in prison?
I didn't. That's the one thing I don't.
Missed opportunity
ask
right there, mate.
That's crossing the boundary. That is, man.
No, I would have asked. I would be like,
you would have asked
if it's not rude. Why were you in prison?
There's only one time that I probably passed that line in asking somebody a question about themselves, and it was when Andrew and I were trying to measure the height of that fella. He was like. And Andrew stood next to him trying to use the measuring app on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't work, by the way.
He was like, he says he's 6'2", and I went, mate, that's so far off. And he turns out he was top end 6 foot. He was
7'2".
He was like 6'11" or something stupid. He was so tall.
Yeah, actually, I remember
he was
that,
tall enough that he was ducking for the fucking roof.
Yeah. I think if he stretched his arm out, he would have touched the ceiling.
Yeah,
probably would have put a crack in it again. That hasn't been sorted.
Yeah, we need to. Well,
have you been back there yet then to see if that crack's been sorted?
No, I don't. I haven't been into the center.
I can't wait until the ceiling falls through and they have to deal with that.
Yeah, well, for the backstory for the listeners, essentially the store that we all worked at during the pandemic, we all got furloughed, and then they shut our store. So, there's new occupants, and, yeah, so, Thanks, Boris.
Cheers, Boris.
Well,
on the bright side, it means that
I wouldn't say all Boris. So.
not all Boris, but
a good old person that rhymes with Remin comes to mind.
And Pollard. Well, actually, not Pollard. But
no, not Pollard.
No,
but probably just Remin, big old Remo.
Yeah. Well, actually, should we talk about the former owner of the company?
Oh, apparently he's community sport officer now.
He's what?
Community sport.
Yeah.
Jesus.
What for the company?
No, the community sport officer. So effectively, you're joking. The police's bitch boys.
How did you imagine find that?
How did you find that? That out? Well, through my brief time in customer service. It's how you figure that out.
Wow.
Probably tried to recruit Ben.
I'm not going to the south of the country to work for the police community support team.
Why would you get paid and you have to do fuck all because no crime goes on in the
south of England?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the Cornwall area.
People just still stand, don't they?
Yeah, or push over bins.
Someone
pushed over my bin, don't like it.
Sheep rustling, it's a real problem around here.
Yeah. See, it's been going on for weeks now.
It's a real crime. I want it reported and solved. Do you have the number for Sherlock Holmes? I reckon he'll be good for the job.
Well, good old Remy boy is their answer to Sherlock Holmes.
I mean, the guy was an absolute idiot, man. Didn't know how to run a company.
Yeah.
Rude as hell. Never introduced himself when he came down. Thought he was the big man because he was the big guy. And then, ended up selling the company, which was good.
I mean, yeah, in fairness, he probably laughed his way all the way to the bank. And I don't blame him for it. As a business venture goes, selling a failing electronics business for the sum of money that he did was genuinely epic.
Well, I know that we were all laughing to see him go. I know I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember actually when they were transitioning him, when he resigned, quote, resigned, and then the pandemic hit and was fuck all you can really think of him to do. So I wonder if they just walk actually set him.
In his, apparently he called it a gilet, but I like to call it a midlife crisis bomber jacket.
Yeah, the
best of puffiness.
He probably took another holiday in Canada. Put his feet up. He's probably the kind of guy that doesn't wear a mask either.
Yeah, no, literally, like he would walk in the store and go, "This is my store, my rules."
I could buy this store if I wanted to. All right, cool. Still put your mask on, dickhead.
Yeah, like, I only encountered this guy like once, and he shouted, what, did he shout at you, Andrew?
Yeah, he gave me this is the second time I met him. And I just came back from holiday, and it ripped into me outside the store.
Yeah. Because I remember he ripped into pretty much everyone except me, but he was like trying to find ways to have a good reason to. So for context for the audience, the reason why he was so angry was so essentially our store has to meet very strict standards.
That the store looked like crap.
Yeah, the store looked like crap, and because I was pretty much like the main service guy, my area looked pretty crap as well. But he turned up like unannounced, and actually I remember because two bald guys walked out. And I was like, oh my God, is one of them the owner? Because he looks so familiar. And then Andrew like followed behind him. And he goes, no, actually, I walked into back of house. And I was like, who are they, Andrew? And he goes, oh, that's him. Like, that's the guy that owns the company. And I was like, oh, shit.
Nobody knew that. Maybe meant that we should have done an orientation.
Well, I knew what he looked like because, like, before I applied, I was like, "Who owns the company?" And like, all the reviews were pretty bad about him. Like, saying, "Oh yeah, good old Reming. Yeah, he's a wanker. Oh yeah, don't work for him." And so I was like, "Oh shit, yeah, I better keep my eye out." And thankfully, it was like the first and only time I met him. But he was shouting at one of the other managers, like, in front of customers as well. Like, even the customers were, like, saying, like, this guy's a dick. Like, he's acting like a wanker. And then they were even more surprised to find out that he owned the company. And and then I just remember, like, before he was going to bollock Andrew, he was trying to find ways to bollock me before. So he was, like, looking under my service little desk area. But, like, before, because I think he said, I'm just going to go out to do something or whatever. Or I think while he was bollocking the other manager, I thought, yeah, I better clean up quickly, otherwise he's going to have a massive go at me. But he couldn't find anything. Like, the only interaction I actually had with him was he couldn't get into the back, because it was locked, and so obviously he needed to go. And for some reason, like, looking back, he looked like he was proper like having a meltdown. Like, he was like having an anxiety attack, and he was like, "Oh my god, oh, can you let me in, please?" Oh. And I was like, "Yeah, sure, just don't shout at me."
I think he probably didn't realize that people weren't afraid to talk back to him.
Yeah,
because I mean, I would answer back to him. You know, you're going to come down. I mean, the reason why I still look like crap was because, number one, I was on holiday the week before and we were incredibly short-staffed. And we went for a busy period. New launch of devices came out. So you got a launch day happening in a week that I was off, which was pre-booked. So you've got literally barely any staff. And he comes down randomly, doesn't announce when he's coming down. But then he comes down. Obviously, you're not going to like what you see, but you don't just bollock everyone and then leave and then never come back and put in threats and all this crap. So yeah, I mean, he probably was surprised that people actually had the guts to speak back to him. I got no problems telling you, if you're in the wrong, you're in the wrong, man. If you can't see it, then you're an idiot.
Yeah. No, actually, I think remember you told me a story about there was another store in our region that basically, because with us, the company that we were with, essentially they're really stringy, and because Andrew and I were always in the back, I was doing service and Andrew was doing manager stuff, it'd always be freezing, but all the other stores,
manager stuff,
yeah. And it was just always be freezing, but like all the other stores would complain that it would be the same. And I think Andrew you told me the story, like one of the other stores in the region complained about it. And he was like proper giving them lip.
Yeah, yeah. They brought in like law and all this crap, man. And then he was just throwing his toys out the pram.
How can they do that to me? Oh, they're making me do work. I have to spend money. Oh,
oh, I can't go to Canada this month.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to put Canada on hold now. I'll buy them a heater.
Like, the guy was just an absolute moron.
Yeah, no. Hence why he had to sell the company pretty much in disgrace, right?
Yeah. And everyone was happy to see him go. Everyone, like, I was so surprised because I thought it was just us that had the bad experience. But whenever I went on training events and I speak to the other managers and speak to the other workers and stuff, they all had pretty much the same feeling.
Mm.
And it's just big old Remen, man.
Did you ever meet him, Ben?
I mean, Remy. Yeah. Only in passing. Like, he couldn't give less of a shit about me.
That's a good thing.
He didn't care about anyone.
Yeah, like, he was proper actively, like, trying to find ways to shout at me. And I wouldn't give him it. And he was like, "Oh, okay, all right. Andrew, can I talk to you for a sec?"
I met his number two and had a nice conversation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mostly trying to throw the old manager under the bus. But
yeah, and what's even more disgusting was the owner to Andrew, like, he, like, instead of doing it in the back, the lecture, not anything else, he did,
I'm sure he would be 6 foot under if he tried to do anything out the back. I'll break his damn neck.
No, no, but like he did it like right outside in front of the shop, in the middle of the mall, in front of everyone as well. Which...
And it was close to the, who was opposite us? Monsoon. It was close to their door as well. So it was just so embarrassing, man. Everyone passing me and he's bollocking me out right there in public. Mm. I had bloody the sweet corn guy looking at me like, oh, mate, I'll give you 20% off if you need it.
You know? Oh. I'll give you a free one. Like, can't get any worse than this.
Yeah, but we all know that if Andrew made his way to Mr. Cupcorn, then he may well have found himself on the wall of shame.
Yeah.
you can't risk that, mate. You can't risk it.
You can't eat corn out of cup, man. I don't care for anyone that does it.
Yeah, no, you can.
You can't. Ollie, yeah, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
Ollie, there's a reason that you're the only person on the wall of shame.
Well, if that's the case, I'd also Richard would have been like, nah, take it down.
If that's the case, you might as well just walk into Tesco, pick up a can of sweet corn, open it right there in the aisle, and just eat it with your fingers, man.
That's what
it just feels like.
Nah, it's cold. I wouldn't I have boundaries. I wouldn't have it cold. Has to be nice and piping hot.
But just going back to Remen, like, you can tell he didn't care, because I remember when we had that theft, and it was the first time Richard had seen it. And he had to call him up. It was the first time he was dealing with it as a new regional. And he called him up, and I could hear his phone call with him. And the first thing, he was just like, yeah, so, you know, these guys have been, they've been robbed. They've taken this amount. Now, if that was me, the first thing I would be like is, okay, was anyone hurt? Anyone injured? Yep. Are the staff okay?
Yep.
But his first thing was anyone at the front? Yeah, people were at the front. Okay. How did they steal it? And it's just like, there was no concern whatsoever for staff. Like,
Bruce Lee does not hold the front of the store. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, one of us could have got stabbed in that. And he probably wouldn't even ask that question. Okay, was anyone injured?
Yeah, he would have been like, nah, it's your fault.
And he gave us a bollocking for that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember, actually, because we looked at the company policy together. And literally, their policy is, they have a policy called "Don't be a hero," and they said if anyone's robbing the store, just let them do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of sensible things like that, though. The number two thought up. It was not his idea.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, they would have flattened him anyway. You know, like in cartoons, when like a cartoon character gets run over and they get really flat. That's what he would have been. He would have been stuck to the floor.
Yeah.
A visual image of him and his fucking vest stuck to the floor now.
Yeah, it was just
shining off his bald head.
But that's how I knew he didn't care. Did not care once about anyone.
And then laughed his way to the bank.
Yeah, good. I hope I never have to deal with him in life, man.
Well, unless you go down Dorset or the Cornwall area.
If I do, I'll spit on him.
Yeah. So we're going to finish off on one last story. And that story is from yours truly. So this would have been I think it was just before lockdown. So I was the main service guy. So I repair all the devices. And one day I had an appointment with a pregnant woman. And it's always a bit sensitive with pregnant women because you have to sort of walk on eggshells to make sure because it's pretty much like you don't know what they're going through, especially if you're a man. So essentially I think it was the receiver on her, speaker on her phone wasn't working when you made calls. And because of her situation of like being pregnant, so with us, we couldn't do same day repairs unless it was a battery.
Mm.
But
and even then, there was limitations to that.
Yeah. So I explained it to her, take like up to a working week because we have to test it, get the part, fit it, test it, and all that stuff. So obviously, because she's pregnant, she couldn't do that, which is fair enough. So to which then I said to her, well, if you take it to the manufacturer of that phone, they'll do it same day. but you've got a month left on your warranty, so you have to do it within the month, otherwise then you have to come back here, and then yeah. So I thought, okay, that's it, I won't see, that's it, I've seen the end of her, we'll never see her again. Ron. About a month and a half later, she came back, and she was pissed, and I said to her, so what's the problem? She goes, well, if you remember me, yes, I do remember you, I've got good memory, and yeah, and she goes, so I never went to Apple, but when I did, I never went to Apple during the warranty I'd left, but when I did, there's nothing that they could do, and then I'd have to go to you guys. And I said, okay, but I did advise that to go to them. And then she said, well, I couldn't because I was pregnant. And I was like, okay, well, okay. And then she was like, so what are you going to do? So I said, okay, well, because you have no other option but to have us service it, because you bought the phone from us, which is the detail I left out. She bought the phone from us. Essentially, because we're liable to make sure that phone works. We're the only ones that could do it, because we foot the bill. So I said to her, so like as I stated last time, it will take up to a working week. That wasn't good for her. Essentially, she just threw such a massive tantrum in the store. And I said to her, well, I can see if we can make an exception because of your situation. I like to think I wasn't being a dick about it, but I was like, yeah, no, I understand. I mean, we're both quite nice, like when we first had the first meeting, and then but for some reason or another, she had to come back another day. But I explained what her options were, and she said, well, if you could like speak to head office and just get them to, well, explain it to them, see if they could do anything. Yeah, sure. So then I spoke to them after she had left, and they basically said, no, sorry, there's no exceptions, no rule bending. The rules are the same for everyone. Okay, well, I look forward to telling her that. So she came back the following week, and then when I did tell her, she basically just ripped into me. Basically just was like, I'm a fucking pregnant woman, I'm all stressed, blah, 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 blah. I want to speak to Ben, who was running the shop that day. And I think it was the first time that I really had to hold myself from going, why do you really think that you can talk to someone like that and get away with it? But I was just like, nah, it's not worth it. So I got Ben to deal with it. And then Ben worked his magic, managed to basically get what they want at the end. But it's really difficult. So I said to her, why can't you just get like a £20 phone? So at least you have a phone. Because, I mean, she was almost ready to pop. So I said, you know, why don't you just get like a £20 phone from Carphone Warehouse? So then at least if something happens, then that wouldn't do that. Basically wouldn't do anything that I suggested to her. She said, well, I want my phone fixed today. And if it doesn't, I'm going to refuse to leave the store. So she protested in the store. And then pretty much Ben had to work the magic of talking to the director of the company, not the owner that rhymes with Remy. But it was, I can actually remember it being quite stressful because I think it was her boyfriend or brother, and it was just like the most weirdest guy that I ever spoke to, because he was like talking to me in like Shakespearean style, like as if he was in a Shakespearean play, and he's like,
those that aren't well spoken, the moment they start to use words like,
yeah, and he goes, Dastly. Yeah, because
you're just making, what you're doing is taking words out of a playwriting text rather than necessarily.
Yeah, but what really annoyed me was they were trying to make out like as if like I was the one trying to make their life difficult, and they were like, but why can't you just replace the phone? And I'm like, because I can't, like, literally, I'm being like, this is how it works. I can't change it.
We're not Apple.
Yeah, exactly. And, but they just couldn't get it. They thought it was me being the difficult one, but essentially, the director of the company got involved. It all had to be done like behind head office's back, like to just to see if it was the screen problem. And so she went, and then we waited for the part to come in. And I remember the part came in, I thought, oh, brilliant, you know, one step closer to getting this absolute shitstorm sorted. And I remember I called and I was like, yeah, we've got the part in. You just need to come into store and basically we'll do it. And then she goes, okay, well, it won't be today. Well, it'll be later on today because I have to go to hospital first because you guys have stressed me out so much. And I thought...
Poor you.
Yeah, no, like, I can understand, okay, if you're pregnant, things are a bit more stressful because, you know, you could break your waters any minute and you don't have a phone. But I like to think that we did our best to help her as much as we could. Like, we bent backwards, but it just, I just think it sort of fell on deaf ears with her, like...
Yeah, you keep the earring going above and beyond.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the worst bits about retail in general.
Yeah, like people don't actually see like what happens behind the scenes of us bending over backwards, like sometimes even getting bollocked by higher ups for doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
sometimes you'll just ask the silly questions, the ones that you know the answers to.
Yeah,
but just to prove that you made the effort.
Yeah, but when she said that, I was like, God, that was such a dig at me. I literally like had to stop myself from going, you know what, fuck you. Like, yeah, no, like, get fucked. And, but no, I didn't say that, obviously. But, yeah, she came in, we did the phone repair. I was like, fuck it, I'm just rushing it.
Perhaps the temptation was there.
Yeah, and...
wash your hands with it.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was all sorted. But, like, the moment she saw that the phone was working as expected... I was serving like another customer, like transaction or whatever for AirPods or whatever, and she was at the table and she like turns around to me and she goes, "Thank you, Ollie," and I literally was just like, "Fuck off."
Requested her to say that, to be completely
fair. Really?
Probably.
Damn.
I don't know the subliminal thing of mine, but I will.
Yeah, she generally does look happy though. She was like, "Thank you so much, Ollie." I was like, "Get fucked. Buy Samsung next time."
That's Ben off Ollie's Christmas list.
I can ask someone to do it sincerely, and if they don't, that's not my fault.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Like, some people do generally forget to, like, they forget their Yeah, man, they're common manners, yeah.
I think the issue is that customers they have this misconception on what each company can do. So we use that as an example. It's like the fact that she's using this situation as a reason for her to go to, quote, hospital. And it's just like, but we haven't caused that. That's not us doing it personally. We simply follow a policy that's put in place by a different company, the actual company. You know, number one, we didn't make this phone. We did not manufacture it in any way possible. So that's the issue with it. It's just like people, I've had it everywhere, in game as well. People complaining about controllers breaking or games not working, consoles not working. It's like, but we didn't make this game. We didn't make this console.
Yeah.
Don't take it out on me. I simply just sell it.
No, that's, yeah, people, like, when you work in retail, you kind of realise, like, how a lot of people talk to you, like, as if you made the product and you founded the company. And, it's just really unnecessary.
I mean, my first transition into this company from game, it was like, I absolutely hated the customers from day one because they were just so different to game customers. Obviously we get the gamers, right? You get all the teens, you get people who just love playing games, you get people who just play FIFA and Fortnite, and kids spending £200 on digital credit for Fortnite for some strange reason, no clue why. And then I come over here and it's just like okay, well, why doesn't my iPhone work? Why doesn't my iPad work? And it's like, I don't know. But then they blame you for it. Like, yeah, you've personally done it. Like, I go home every day after work and I'm like, all right, cool. Who should I destroy today? All right, I'll tell you what, this pregnant chick looks all right. Cool. Let's just let's mess up her phone. We'll let her come in for an appointment and then we'll tell her that we can't sort out on the same day and whatnot. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. But
it's not our company.
We don't press a button. We don't... It's not... Manufacturer issues on the screen. There's no width or breadth to the level of issues that you may or may not have, but realistically speaking, can only resolve with the power that we hold as a company.
Yeah.
But such is.
Yeah. Such is life.
Any other stories before we end it off?
Go on. I'm sure you got some, Ben.
I'm sure you've got some. Realistically speaking, you're the person that came into this with a fucking sheet.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we can spread that across. You know, it doesn't have to all be in one. You know, I have to blow my load, let's say, in one take.
This significantly unprepared comparatively.
The only thing I probably would say is just like that's just the common theme in retail. It's just like you've got people who work in retail, and we are the ones who understand the business, let's say. And you know, you wouldn't see me kicking off at anyone in a retail shop because I know how it feels, and I won't want to do it to anyone else, especially being a manager. Like,
remember Benyamin?
Oh yeah.
Well, bless her. She never asks for anything awful. Yes, yeah. There was potentially a small language barrier there, and I didn't hold anything against her as a person. But God, she was irritating. Nothing. She... bless her soul. I don't think she ever meant to be irritating. But
when
you heard Benjamin, I was just like, oh, this. Let me die now.
She was a Benjamin customer. No one else handled her other than you. Even when you're on your days off and she'll come in, she'll be like, Benjamin in. No, he's not in. Back tomorrow, 9 a.m.
Okay.
Drop like back in tomorrow, 9 a.m.
Asian. It was... Like I said, I've never meant anything bad. She was a nice person. She never meant to be irritating, but she...
Yeah.
I actually remember... I had a customer try get me to marry their daughter. It was a Filipino guy, and he was like, you single? And I was like...
What you should have done is ask for pictures.
I did.
And he said no?
No, he showed me.
And she was
Did you stop him and say, that's a catfish?
He's like, you're single? And I was like, yeah, sadly. And he was like, do you want to marry my daughter? And I was like, what's she look like? And I was like,
Brav, your first question should have been, how old is she?
That's a very good age point, just, to be fair.
Age is just a number, but a prison is just a room.
I wonder if R. Kelly still believe in that.
No, actually.
Age ain't nothing but a number.
But actually, now you mentioned that, he did ask for my age, and I was like, yeah, I'm 24. And then he was like, oh, my daughter, 24 too. And, yeah, but... Never
that is a good point, because, you know,
yeah,
if the first question isn't age, then realistically speaking, you might be yourself the deal.
I think he would...
13 is a problem.
I think he was going to be willing to pay me as well.
Because you know what would happen if you were, if she was underage and you wasn't? You'd be there on YouTube, crystal clear, bald head. And you know what's coming.
It's a new tactic that nonce hunters have. They go to stores and go, you want to marry my daughter? But yeah.
Okay. Very nice.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we should end with an R. Kelly song.
No.
Just to solidify the first episode.
Well, he'll definitely sue us because he needs the money.
Apparently he's like really... He's really hot on people's tales about that. Someone just spoofed of an R. Kelly song, and he's just like, copyright claim.
I think he must have been worth about 100 or 200 million, but now he's only worth 100,000.
Jeez.
He's had to spend so much money on lawsuits.
Well, I bet he won't be attending any kids' Christmas or birthday parties. I can guarantee that for free.
He does it being a back of the one.
But your ponytail out.
Just
a call out. Okay, R. Kelly, if you're listening, sue me to get it.
Okay, guys, that's it for the first episode of Help on the Shop Floor. If you enjoy, please subscribe. If you're on Apple, Google, Spotify, or any of the other shitty podcast providers. And we'll see you next week, or soon.